Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 25th, and we have a fun week. This week, we're just kind of covering a variety of topics. Next week, we'll get back to our catechesis topics, and we'll get into the first petition, the introduction of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. This week, we've got a variety of topics, and today, we're going to talk with some of our fellow DCE friends, directors of Christian education, about partnering with fellow congregations in opportunities for service with youth. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. You'll find the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. Find out all about the programs they have to offer and where they're located. You might be surprised. It's not just in Wisconsin. They're located all over the place, including a site right here in St. Louis. So go check it out, kfuo.org. Well, joining me in studio today, I have two special guests to talk about their work as directors of Christian education and partnering with fellow congregations. Joining me in studio today, Christina Stackel. She's DCE, Director of Christian Education at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And you might recognize her voice as well. You may hear it again tomorrow when we go to the Lenten service during the 11 o'clock hour at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. So you also happen to be one of the voices that introduces the service as well, correct?
Correct.
It's one of the many things that DCEs get to do, right?
Well, I'm in the office. I'm available, so I have no excuse to say no.
We were just joking before that DCE sometimes stands for Directors of Christian Education because sometimes our job and responsibilities just seem endless. But we get to do lots of great things, like hosting radio programs.
That's right.
Also joining us in studio today, Daniel Meyer. He's DCE and Director of Youth Ministry at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Daniel, great to have you in studio today.
No, I appreciate you having me here, Andy, and it's just great to be on. And we've got some members at our church I know that are, I think, involved and connected with you, so I think they were excited to bridge this connection.
Absolutely, and hopefully they're listening today.
I hope so.
For our listeners, if you're listening today and you want to share it with somebody else who's not listening right now, the program is recorded and archived and will be posted on our website later on, usually by the next business day. So for those who are listening today and want to share it with someone else, you can go to kfuo.org and go to the archive section for Faith and Family and click on that, and you can share it with friends and family and tell everybody about your wonderful DCEs that you're listening to on the radio today. So you guys can share it with your families and with your youth who are probably faithfully in school right now, correct?
I hope so.
I hope so.
They better be studying, right? Well, and something else that's kind of interesting about our duo today, you both serve at different parishes, but it just so happens that you happen to be related as well.
That is correct. We are brother and sister.
Now, it would be even more unique, I guess, if you were in the same parish. That would be the brother and sister DCE team in the same parish. But you serve in the same district. Are you in the same circuit as well?
We are.
Yeah, we're both in the two of four churches in the Green Park Lutheran School Association. So.
Very good. So just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Well, Christina, tell us a little bit about the work that you do at Peace. Tell us about your congregation, Peace Lutheran in St. Louis, and the work that you do as Director of Christian Education there.
Well, we are located in South County, and I have the privilege of working primarily with youth ministry 5th through 12th grade, mm-hmm. And helping in teaching confirmation classes with our 5th and 6th graders, helping with the Board of Education and overseeing our Sunday school for all of our children and adults in the congregation, and then specifically working with our youth group in high school, working with families and helping them to share their faith with their kids, but focusing primarily on just helping our youth to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's a personal relationship that they have with Him.
And so that can encompass, as you were saying, a number of things that can be from simply being in a counselor type role, spending time one-on-one with them, but also mm-hmm. teaching, organizing, and administration of education type things, opportunities in the congregation. So where do you spend probably the majority of your time as a director of Christian education?
In regards to like with youth or?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The congregation that I'm serving right now at Peace, my most of my time is focused on with like confirmation, mm-hmm. Teaching our high schoolers. I spend a lot of time. We have three focuses that I try to encompass, and it's one, growing in their knowledge of Scripture and in that relationship with Jesus. That We have Bible study. Mm-hmm. And through that Bible study, then, as we are growing in our faith with Jesus, we can't help but share it with other people. And one of the ways we do that is by doing service projects. We are very service-oriented in our middle school and high school youth groups. So that whole idea of faith in action. And then I feel that while we're serving, we're going to have some fun together and mm-hmm. have a good time. So once in a while, we will do a fellowship activity on the side, but we really try to focus on scripture, confirmation, that knowledge base, and then living it out in sure. our everyday life here in our schools and in our community. So I spend a lot of time helping them to formulate all of that.
And we'll get to one of those service opportunities in just a little while. We're going to talk about that and partnering with other congregations. Another interesting thing about Peace Lutheran that a lot of folks probably from the St. Louis area know about Peace Lutheran is the annual Boar's Head Festival. Now, was this a first time experience for you when you came to Peace? Had you experienced the Boar's Head Festival before that?
I had never, ever. I didn't even know what it was when I got here to St. Louis, to Peace. I kept trying to figure out, what in the world are they going to do with a boar's head? And what does that have to do with Jesus?
What does a pig's head have to do with Jesus?
Yeah, and Christmas. But it is a awesome service that our congregation puts on. Hundreds of people come together mm-hmm. to lead the service, and our kids are all involved, and it's just a highlight of the life at Peace Lutheran Church.
Very good. And Daniel, tell us a little bit about Christ Memorial Lutheran Church and your service there, what you do.
Yeah, Christ Memorial has gone through some changes in the last probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. They were located kind of down from the Lutheran South High School here in
sure.
St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and they made a big significant change about, I think we're going on about 9 years ago, into a vacated Target store. And so they moved into there prior to me coming there, and so they'd been there about 5 years when I came in 2010. And so we've got that ministry. We've got incredible pizza next door that subleases to us. And so we've got that next door, which is a Christian-based company that's kind of like not quite a Dave & Buster's, but not quite a Chuck E. Cheese. And so kind of a neat place for families to come and celebrate birthdays and
sure.
play games and eat food. But our ministry have, you know, obviously numerous things happening, but some of our highlights would be our Christ Memorial Productions. We do a theater ministry musical each fall, and I believe we're in the process of expanding that to each spring. And so we put those on, a great undertaking for our congregation. If you come into our sanctuary, we've got a little bit different. We don't have the traditional, wood pews and mm-hmm. long stretched out sanctuary. And so we've got something that's conducive to doing those productions. With our facility, we've been able to put in a fitness center that's free to the community. And you just have to take a class, and so it's been a great way to get people outside of our normal mm-hmm. congregation membership and in the community just to get into our building and be encouraged and kind of a body is the temple type thing. But we've seen some transfer over to that where people have been interested in membership. It's not, you know, gangbusters in a huge amount, but mm-hmm. That's been a neat opportunity that we've had there with this newer building and location.
So it went from being a department store. did you have people showing up at the doors every once in a while, looking for the old store that was there?
Well, you know, maybe not quite, but we've definitely got people that say, you know, hey, I remember shopping here.
Right.
And
yeah.
here's where the boys' clothing was.
Right.
Or those types of things. But I mean, I think it's been a good yeah. move for our congregation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got, we went from one of those, as many people in there, I know their congregation, it's building addition with building addition and building addition. And then you have a visitor come mm-hmm. and it's just a maze. They're getting lost. And so we've got a very simple floor plan. There's no steps in mm-hmm. our building at all. We're one level. And so those who, you know, maybe it's a challenge to get up or down steps. I mean, they just love to be able to do that. And it's just, I think, a lot simpler to navigate. And it's been a great, great transition for
sure.
our congregation.
I remember the former campus. And yes, you were right. There were a lot of stairs and it was kind of hard to navigate for a visitor. So now you're in this larger space. You've got plenty of room to spread out, hopefully, and providing or looking at ways that you can connect with the community and serve the community as the fitness center and service opportunities. Now, Christina mentioned that a large part of what they do at Peace is service projects. Where do service projects and mission opportunities, things like that, fit into what you do at Christ Memorial?
Yeah, with the new location, I think we've had to kind of have a shift in our ministry mindset of being maybe a church that focuses on the inside and the membership, and we want to still do that at a certain level, but we've been really looking to shift and look a little bit more outward, mm-hmm. and a little bit more missional and outreach focused. Our senior pastor now, Jeff Clater, he's got a real simple thing. His kind of thought is to be loved. We're loved by Christ, and then we're sent. And we're sent with his love out into the community, mm-hmm. and that message of the gospel. And so that's been neat to do that. I know we're planning, I believe, this October to do a church-wide service day. And we're looking to do that and really make a difference out in the community. We've got some connections here in town with the Humanitry Organization. And I think we've been in the process, and I think we're finishing up the process of getting connected and sponsoring a house back in the St. Louis city that we would help furnish and helps a person just that's financially challenged get back on their feet. And it's been a neat opportunity to start doing that, to have that be a signature ministry of our congregation. And sometimes it's a challenge. I know we get, we love the opportunities we have as a church, but sometimes we're so spread out with, you know, 80 probably different ministries in our congregation. And so I think we've been looking to, you know, maybe not streamline down to two or three, but narrow that a little bit, that there's mm-hmm. more intentional focus and more of an ongoing relationship within those ministries, whether it be our theater, our fitness center, our preschool, or these outreach with Humanitry and a few other select ministries.
How did you, so both of you serve in as full-time parish directors of Christian education, youth ministry, and how did you first find out about DCEs? We'll go back to Christina. How did you first find out about what a DCE is and what they do?
Well, I had the privilege when I was in fourth grade. Our family we were members of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. And in fourth grade, as we were going through Christ Community Lutheran School, there was a DCE at Concordia Kirkwood, Ben Freudenberg, and their youth program was really taking off at that time. And my parents really wanted to make sure that we had those opportunities that they did not have. Mm-hmm. So we transferred to Concordia Kirkwood when I was in fourth grade, and we just immediately started getting involved with all the youth ministry, having relationships with our DCE. I had the privilege of working with in high school alongside Ben, and then also with our junior high DCE, Heidi Borg. And it was through just working with them. I didn't go to college and thinking I was going to be a DCE. I thought I was going to be a first grade teacher, and I went to Truman, and then God had some other plans. And all along, I should say that in the back of my head, there was that idea of professional church work, but I thought, oh, not me. I can't do this. But certainly God called me, and he has sent me, he has equipped me over the years, and it has been such a blessing. But truly, I learned about being a DCE by watching some of the greatest DCEs in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talk with Ben from time to time. Actually, he's mm-hmm. scheduled to be a guest next week on Faith and Family.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, we'll be talking with Ben and Jennifer both next week, his wife Jennifer, about what's going on with Concordia University Ann Arbor and the Director of Family Life Ministry Program there and one of their students. So yeah. We'll be talking with Ben very soon, so you have to listen next week and hear an update from Ben.
Exactly. It was great that they helped equip our high schoolers mm-hmm. in being on youth boards and being involved and taking leadership roles. And I think really through that idea of being able to share your faith, it was just a natural part of who I had already become through mm-hmm. Through the youth program at our church, that it just was a natural progression.
Daniel, how about you? When did you first start thinking about becoming a DCE? Where would you... where do you fit, or where did that fit in your picture?
Yeah, obviously being related to Christina, sure. similar, but a little different journey. I had, been involved. Our parents, I think my dad was the director of our VBS camp. And so I remember being a counselor, and I remember kind of, people laugh now that know me, they see me as this extrovert, but I was actually kind of fairly shy and reserved. I was maybe goody two shoes might be a little extreme in my case, but in my thoughts, but
it's true. He never would talk in public.
I was very reserved and followed the rules. And so one thing kind of led to the next, but I, had the opportunity, Ben Freudenberg again comes up, the after-school latchkey program at CCLS, Christ Community Lutheran School, they were looking for some people to work after school. And the person there, the manager of that, contacted Ben and said, hey, do you know any youth in the youth group that might be a good fit? Ben suggested my name and a few others, and so I did an interview. One thing led to a next, and I'm sitting there then as a sophomore after school each day, 5 days a week from about 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, kind of connecting with grade school kids. And it was neat. Some of them would have a great day. Some of them, you know, I'll never forget the first day there. You know, the one kid forgot his lunch. So he's sitting there crying, you know, and you're there aiming, kind of able to minister to them. I don't know if I was maybe using that vocabulary in 10th grade as a high school student, but definitely had that opportunity. And I think that was really instrumental between that and just the opportunity of leadership roles and mentoring younger kids. I remember being a chaperone, like youth leader on junior high retreats. And Ben, and then it turned into Jeremy Becker and DCE, Jim Meyer were there. And so they'd create opportunities for us and leadership roles and an opportunity for us to use kind of our gifts and abilities. And I would say too, gifts and abilities that we hadn't really realized. They'd kind of, you know, they were kind of headhunting almost, kind of identifying skills that we saw. And then God kind of working over it all, as well as, you know, the relationship I had with my sister. And I was somebody, especially during that age, and I know working with a lot of my high school students, they're trying to decide about college and mom and dad, what career are you going to pick and what major do you want to do? And I remember kind of struggling a little bit there thinking, well, I'm interested in a lot of stuff and I'm interested in doing something maybe 3, 4, 5 years and then switching careers. And I remember people like my parents saying, you know, that's not really a good way to build up your retirement fund. And that's not a good way to, you know, you get an education in one thing. And then after 5 years, if you want to do something else, you may not have the degree to change careers like that. And so you really want to do your best to pick something that you can see doing long term. And so I just really felt God calling me through the mission trips that we went on, through the National Youth Gathering, through those events, just kind of speaking to me that, you know, hey, I wanna be able to nurture relationships and encourage youth and families in their faith. Mm-hmm. And my youth leaders in a simpler way were there for me when I had challenges and ups and downs and struggles in high school, and I kind of, in some ways, wanted to have that opportunity in the parish, and then, you know, pursued going to Concordia Seward.
So you went to Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska, and
correct.
Christina, you said you started off at Truman State, but you ended up at
Concordia St. Paul.
Concordia University St. Paul. So you both went through the DCE program at one of the Concordias, and then went through the training and the internship, and now you're serving full time as parish DCEs in youth ministry primarily, it sounds like.
Exactly. I always like to think that he wanted to be like his older sister.
You can keep believing that. I do say, you know, she's the older one, but she is the better looking one. So I do say that.
Nice.
Well, there's one more member to this party who couldn't be with us today, and that's Jason Glaske. He's the DCE at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, and what connects all three of you is a project coming up this summer that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And Jason's been serving at Emmanuel in Joplin for a while now, and I had a chance to talk with him online a little bit about his history too in becoming a DCE, and he has a unique story, and hopefully someday we'll get to hear that as well and hear about his path to becoming a DCE. He too is originally from Missouri as well, and so. It's kind of funny how I guess Missouri DCEs end up back in Missouri. I'm not sure how that happens, but we end up back in Missouri.
God answered my prayer is how that happened. My mother was praying a lot also.
As I say, God answered my mom's prayer to get us back. Yeah.
Exactly. It was because of my wife that I ended up back here in Missouri. I was actually serving, and I had served in Florida and Texas and upstate New York, and God brought me back here via my wife. And so, DCEs from Missouri, I guess, end up back in Missouri somehow. I guess there's just a little bit of heaven here, right?
There is.
Something about it, yep.
It's certainly not the weather.
Yeah.
So what is the connection between all three of you? Daniel, you brought this to my attention.
Yeah.
It's a partnership that all three of your congregations are working on.
You know, when I came here to Christ Memorial in 2010, mm-hmm. you know, you're planning the next summer, 2011, to go on a mission trip. And so obviously we had been searching stuff out. Interestingly enough, my sister and I, we were planning to do a trip together and with our churches, and we were planning to go down to Tennessee, where Nashville had some flooding, I think, previously in 2010. And we were kind of ended up having a larger group of about 60 people, and housing ended up kind of being a little bit of an issue, and we're trying to make arrangements, and it just wasn't coming together. And one thing led to the next, and then it's May of 2011, and the tornado goes through Joplin, Missouri. Mm. And so, obviously, there's the media, there's the church responses, emails, the TV, the news reports, everything. You know, we're trying to think of how we can help. And so had some contact and was able to get connected with not only Jason, but Emmanuel Lutheran Church there in Joplin. And they were kind of the boots on the ground, the main LCMS connection there. And they were eager to host groups, and they were off and running, supporting that community. And so in 2011, my church, and I think I took some of Christina's youth again in November of 2011, we did a second trip. And then again in 2012, we did trips down there to help and assist in the cleanup and recovery efforts. And so I was at then, I believe it was this past year, at the Missouri Junior High District Youth Gathering. Mm-hmm. And Jason was there, and he's got an involved role there helping make the event happen. And he had said, you know, I think we're in a position now for our youth group to go take a trip. Up to this point, you know, there's just so much need in their own community, much less the fundraising challenges and other obstacles in place. It just wasn't the right time for their trip, their youth group to go.
Sure.
And kind of leave Joplin to do work. There was just so much to do there. And so he said, you know, I'd love to be able not to have to create the whole wheel myself. It'd be great to team up with you guys. You guys seem to kind of have a little bit of clue what you're doing, and you seem to have trips that work well. Mm-hmm. Could we team up? And so we just started exploring ideas. And interestingly enough, you know, God had to really force his hand, because he's, you know, we weren't having a lot of leads. You know, automatically we were looking at a group of about 100 people, wow. 80 to 100. And by the time we got youth and leaders, and a lot of places, they're eager to have a group come and serve and do Christ's work, and they're all about that. But sometimes it's a challenge when it's a group of 100.
Sure.
And so I've been praying about it, and I think we were almost into November, December here, and we didn't have a spot. But then Ken Erlinson, I ran into him, who's the director at Lutheran Island Camp. I'd previously, at my previous church in Minnesota, done some ministry, taking some kids, confirmation retreats and the such up at the camp. And so he said, well, let me get back to you. And within about 24 hours, he had sent me a detailed email of, you know, 10, 15 potential work projects. We are eager to host your group. We're able to accommodate a group your size. We would love to have you. We know it's probably a little bit over a day's drive up there, but we're just really eager and excited. And I just really sensed, you know, God's will and God's hand saying, you know, hey, this is where you need to take your group. And so I got on phone with my sister, emailed, you know, Jason, got in connection to him and said, hey, here's what looks like maybe coming together. Are you guys in? And so they did the kind of the same prayer and getting the details, and were able to kind of decide for themselves. But they said, yeah, we're in.
And we're going to hear more about that upcoming trip in just a little bit. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll hear about what the plans are and who's all going to be involved. So stick around for more conversation here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO right after this break.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A picture went viral on the internet of 7-month-old Harper Tesser. She was sitting in her stroller at the airport with a sign attached made by her mother. It read, "Hey, I just met you and this is crazy, but my name's Harper and I'm your baby." Harper was waiting for her dad, Army Specialist Cole Tesser, who hadn't yet met Harper. Cole was returning from a 9-month deployment in Afghanistan. "I passionately support our brave troops who've risked life and limb, and many have died, to preserve our freedoms. More than anyone, they and their families understand the preciousness of human life. Imagine making the sacrifice Cole's made to protect others. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to see the picture of Harper with her sign, and please pray for our troops.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our co-workers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jesus in the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Some Hobby Lobby customers are denouncing the Obama administration's effort to force the arts and crafts chain to provide insurance for contraceptives that Hobby Lobby's owners say violate their religious beliefs. Outside a store in Roswell, Georgia, Brandy Bennett said,
I support Hobby Lobby 100% because they're a Christian organization and the government should not be able to tell them what to do.
Hobby Lobby shopper Patricia Scanlon agreed.
My personal opinion is that no one other than the people that are going to provide the insurance should have the power to tell you where you can spend your money.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments in the case today. Lawyers for Hobby Lobby and Mennonite-owned Conestoga Wood Specialties want the justices to rule that the owner's religious rights take precedence over enforcement of the health care law's birth control mandate. The Obama administration says individuals have religious rights, but the family-owned corporations do not. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and today we are talking with fellow directors of Christian education about partnering together with sister congregations in service opportunities. And joining me in studio today, we have DCE Daniel Meyer from Christ Memorial Lutheran Church and Christina Stackel. She's DCE at Peace Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. And also joining us now by phone is Jason Glaske. He's the DCE Director of Christian Education at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's my pleasure.
So, Jason, tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Daniel was sharing a little bit of the story earlier, but a couple of years ago, we experienced some pretty serious tornadoes, and they created quite a bit of devastation in your community. Tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Oh, they sure did. That was definitely a defining moment for our congregation. We went through a horrible tornado in May of 2011, and our congregation, the physical property of our congregation, Emmanuel, is about a block away from where the tornado path went through our city. Lots of destruction, as many people might remember, and we were put in place to serve the neighborhood and the community after that. Our buildings were intact, and we're able to receive lots of people to come and help and go into the neighborhoods. Also, a lot of goods to share with people as they went through that horrible few weeks and months after the tornado.
So there were plenty of opportunities to serve in the community, as you said, with providing for the goods and food and things like that, but also rebuilding, recovery and rebuilding in the community were great ways to serve right there in your own neighborhood, right?
Absolutely. We went through a lot of cleanup time after the storm, and a lot of people coming into our building to get meals, to have toilets that flush, and place that had electricity and air conditioning. It was a very hot summer. But after the cleanup was drawing to a close, people started taking the blue tarps off of the top of their homes and started rebuilding the roof, started putting in new windows and putting siding on their homes and started trying to make them homes again that people could live in. And a lot of people came to Joplin in the year and years that followed and made a big impact on the recovery of our town.
How important were those partnerships with brothers and sisters from sister congregations? How important were those partnerships in that recovery and the service to your community?
Those partnerships were essential. The sister congregations in our circuit and in our part of the state were here immediately to help with the chainsaw work that needed to be done and the clearing. But also the sister congregations organized meals to be brought into to our church gym and kitchen, and to be served to community members who couldn't cook, who didn't have a way to get a good, hot, healthy meal. So they organized that, and we didn't have to think about that too much. They took care of us in big ways, and also they started organizing people and different relief items to come and to be here, so that we could be people meeting people's needs as they were right here in our church. Sister congregations came and were deployed out from our property and went out and made a huge difference helping people. If we didn't have them, we couldn't have touched nearly as many lives, and a lot of positive blessings were ours because of all of that.
Who knew that you could use chainsaws to share the love, joy, and peace of Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
After such devastation like that, I'm sure that having the proper equipment to clean up and do projects like that is important. And so, Daniel, you said that you served in a group that went and helped there a couple of times at Joplin, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we started back in 2011 with my sister and I. We wanted to team up to do a trip. I think from just the natural DCE perspective of, hey, if we do a trip together, we kind of split the workload. But we also thought, you know, a lot of our kids attend Lutheran South together, the high school, or public schools together. And it was just a great opportunity to get our kids together that maybe didn't know another Lutheran youth or another friend at that had shared the same faith. And so it was neat to see the fruits of that after the trips. But in 2011, the Joplin opportunity came up. And so we were kind of eager to go serve. And, you know, our congregations were very, I think, supportive of wanting to do something. And people just across the state in St. Louis said, you know, we want to do something. Mm-hmm. And so we can send our youth group. We can send these adult leaders down. And so they were eager to help, you know, get supplies and the funds and the resources necessary to do that. And so we were down there, I think, in July of 2011, and then returned again that fall, and then the next summer in 12.
Christina, were you on any of those trips as well?
Yes, that was the plan all along, was that Daniel and I were going to our servant event was going to be that summer together. After having so many years taking youth and meeting youth from all over the country, our youth, it was beneficial for us to partner together with Daniel and with Christ Memorial as sister churches, so that we could just build some relationships, which is people here in St. Louis, like teens coming together. So our plan was to go to Tennessee, and when that didn't come together, and then God presented this opportunity, I know our youth at Peace were so wanting to go to Joplin and serve. After watching, watching the news, seeing the devastation, their first action was, can we go there? Please, please, can we change our plans? And we said, well, we're already thinking about that. That's the direction we're going. So we filled a couple of big white passenger vans. And both of our congregations, even just adults, packing, we brought school supplies. Mm-hmm. We had people, as a congregation coming together to bring things, collecting donations. We brought a couple $100 down in gift cards to Home Depot and Lowe's to be able to pass out to people and helping to rebuild. But our youth together from both of our congregations really benefited from seeing the devastation and then being able to be called people to help in sharing the love of Jesus and helping people to rebuild their lives and their homes and their foundation. And some of our teenagers, you know, they have pretty cushioned lives here. You know, they all have issues and problems and things don't always go their way. But for the most part, they have loving and caring families and homes and they're being well taken care of. So to come into a city like Joplin and seeing the devastation and all the things, drinking water. And that was one of the things that the teenagers just thought, wow, I take for granted every day that I have clean water to drink. I have a shower. So it really put some things into perspective. And then as we were working in different homes, the opportunities that they had to actually talk to people about their faith. A lot of the residents, well, why did you come here? And they said, well, because I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. So it was an awesome opportunity.
Well, and it was multifold. I mean, it was not only the experience in Joplin, meeting homeowners, and I mean, you know, I'm not a huge emotional, you know, easy cry kind of guy, but I mean, some of those stories, I mean, it just broke your heart.
Sure.
And so we had that layer. We have our kids getting to know each other better, and even kids that just live a few miles away from each other that hadn't met, and they're getting to know, and they have that ongoing relationship. But then really the added bonus in my book as a DCE and as a leader was we get down to Emmanuel Joplin, the Lutheran church there, and they did the best job I've ever seen in organizing mission projects. They had appropriate projects for our youth. Each morning we would show up, I think 8 o'clock. We already had known what our project was going to be the night before, or we had an assignment right there that morning, and we were on our way. Unfortunately, it's very challenging with these projects of getting appropriate projects for youth and high school and under 18 and making sure things are safe, not only having resources and tools, but also just the management of all the projects. And I was so impressed with Jason and his team that he had down. I think it was his wife and another gal named Amy. I mean, they were incredible. And they impressed us so much that we were eager to come back. I mean, I was ready to stay for several months.
Jason, you mentioned that your church was about 3 miles from where the tornadoes came through. How was Emmanuel Lutheran Church positioned to serve in the recovery and rebuilding efforts right after the tornadoes had hit?
Well, let me first correct you a little bit. We were one block away from
one block.
Where the tornado occurred. And so we were physically in a place to really make an impact, but also we had an opportunity to like Daniel said, organize all of these inspiring teams who came in. There were people who had needs all around us. We could just walk any direction and find someone who had a need, and so being able to organize. Determine what the needs of people are, and then in an amazing way, groups would come in who had skill sets to help meet those needs, and we were able to send them to those properties to make a difference in the lives of people there. Can't say enough about how inspiring it was and how uplifting it was for us to see so many groups come into Joplin. Our youth were very excited to see other youth groups coming in, and I was happy that the young people from these two St. Louis churches were able to make a real impact on things. A lot of times people think, well, kids can't do very much, but they made amazing progress at the properties that they worked, the people that they worked for and with, and more than just the physical improvements that they made, the spiritual and emotional impact was tremendous.
Jason, what was your role specifically when after the tornadoes hit and you were all in basically recovery mode? What was your role in the church and in the community?
My role changed from day to day, hour to hour. I'm thankful for my time at Concordia University. In the DCE program, learning to be a generalist in ministry, to be able to do a variety of different things. But my job went from helping to carry in bottles of water to praying with people to directing people to the medical station. My role sometimes was get on the four-wheeler and go out into the neighborhood and give out water or scout out projects for people to do. There are so many different organizing things and serving things and spiritual things that I was fortunate enough to be a part of every day during the recovery effort. Also going out into town to the meetings with other churches and talking about what other churches are doing and how we can work together to accomplish this recovery and rebuilding. A lot of meetings I went to as well.
So you, as you said, as a DCE, you're prepared to really serve in a variety of ways in the congregation. Just to be a servant at heart, really, is what you are doing as a director of Christian education. Well, education is a key part of what we do as DCEs. You're also just prepared to be a servant and serve in whatever ways you're needed in the community and the congregation.
That's right.
So having gone through this experience and then the congregations of Christ Memorial and Peace Lutheran coming down as a couple of congregations of many that had come to help and serve in the recovery efforts in Joplin, you met Daniel and Christina and worked together in these service opportunities, and that's where you all met, correct?
Correct.
Well, that's where we met each other in a much a deeper level.
Yeah.
I've known these two for years, and I've been kind of following their ministries from afar, and I've worked more with Christina in the past than with Daniel, but as they came down and connected with Joplin, the city of Joplin, with Emmanuel, our church, and with our youth group, we made some very strong connections there, and I decided and was hoping that I wanted to do something like they do with my own youth group in the future. And I was glad that this opportunity for us to work together this summer kind of came up.
How did the service of others, of other congregations, coming to Joplin and supporting your community and your congregation, how did that impact you and your congregation? How did it lead up to the decision to want to do more service opportunities for you to take your youth into other service opportunities?
Well, it definitely woke up that part of us of a congregation that looked out from ourselves. The tendency of every congregation, especially as a congregation starts to put on years, is to start looking inward more than outward. And so, as we were forced into this. This service of the community in 2011, we started to regain that drive to help people and to make a difference in our neighborhood and community. And then going out from there, we're thinking more and more as the months go on to what can we do to not pay it back, but like some people say, pay it forward, mm-hmm. And to keep this ball rolling of serving, because it's one of the main jobs of a Christian congregation is to reach out with the gospel of Christ and to be those hands of mercy and compassion and love, wherever we go.
And so this takes us back to where we were right before the break, and Daniel was talking about you were all three looking for this opportunity to serve, trying to find a way that about 100, a group of 100 could serve together, and you spent some time trying to find a way to serve. And Daniel, you got connected with Lutheran Island Camp and got some details from them on their needs there.
Correct. Yeah. Ken Erlinson, the director of Lutheran Island Camp, was in town here in St. Louis, and I was able to connect with him, and he was very eager to bring have our groups come up. And Lutheran Island Camp is up in kind of central northwest Minnesota, and so it's more of a peninsula with a little bridge connection, but my line has been, if a car's coming one way and a dump truck's coming another way, the car's got to back up. But it's a beautiful about 67 acre property up there owned by the Minnesota North District that has been serving serving groups and youth for, I think, probably since, I think, the 60s. And so they've just got a beautiful area. I keep encouraging our youth from Missouri here that, you know, it won't be 100 degrees and 110% humidity. So they've been excited. And so we've got an opportunity to do some different ongoing projects. And it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a shift of service for our churches and our youth groups. You know, we went from some hands-on and some very close relationships with homeowners and individuals in Joplin, where now we're kind of going to be doing projects that have a long-term aspect of, you know, we don't know all the stories. We don't know all the lives of the youth and adults that are going to come to Lutheran Island Camp in the years to come from our service and from our work. But we've got an opportunity to do a few different specific projects that include building an observation deck that allow people to, you know, kind of climb up and see around the property. Over at their ChristServe Ranch and their creation area there, they want a challenge course built, and we know as DCEs, those are great opportunities for youth and adults to kind of work and build team building and break down walls and get people kind of to open up and work together. And so that'll be a neat opportunity. And they also have about a 5 to 7 acre pond that we're going to build a dock across. And so we've got that. And then I think they also have a handicap camp that'll be there during the day that some select youth and individuals be able to do some ministry there. So we've really got a lot of work to do, but I think we're really excited to complete some projects and make an impact up there. And really as well, really the added bonus too is the camp ministry aspect. The kids will get to do some archery and some canoeing and some challenge course and get to the impact and have the opportunity to be at a Lutheran camp. Many of us that have been involved in ministry and churches know that a lot of great things can happen with the Holy Spirit and what He's able to do when kids are kind of away from their electronics and away from from home and their music group or their sports team. And so it should be, I'm really excited for that avenue.
When you're on an island, you could be separated from a strong strong
Correct.
Wireless signal. Is that what you're saying?
I'm hoping.
Christina, what are you looking forward to about this opportunity to serve together?
I love that our group, one of the things that we started when I came to Peace was instead of going all in different directions, that our youth group has one focus and that we come together to serve and we learn about each other and we grow
Amen.
Together and we grow in Jesus together. And that's what it's great about partnering with Daniel and now the youth with Joplin. And our youth loved going to Joplin and serving. So they are so excited that now the youth from Joplin are going to be coming and joining us for this retreat or for this week. And just those relationships that are going to be built. I love watching kids do things for the very first time and that self-discovery of, wow, I can actually use a chainsaw. I can use a hammer. I didn't know I had these abilities, these lifelong skills that they need to be thriving adults, not only sharing, you know, their faith, but just learning how to survive in the world, working together. We partner up. We work. Some of the youth from Christ Memorial, some of the youth of Peace, and some of the youth from Joplin will all come together in a work team. So they're going to be forced to get to know each other and share their gifts, and they're going to discover that everybody in the group has different gifts. And when they all come together and use their gift that God has given them through Jesus, amazing things are going to happen.
And not just youth are going on this trip, but there are adults as well going on this trip. Tell us about the adults. What role will they be playing in this, and why are they important? An important part of this trip?
Yeah, they end up having kind of almost a mini minister DCE type role where we, you know, I try to encourage, you know, we don't just need a warm body for the week. We really need someone that's going to be relational with these youth. Different issues and problems may come up during the week, whether it's something the youth has at home or at the place. But then also, we partner them up, to lead these work projects. With a group this size, we don't really want to, and we're not able to kind of micromanage each group. And okay, now you need to do this, and so we really have them lead the projects during the day, pray with these youth. We have devotion time and small group time. They break out and discuss life and biblical issues and faith, and it's just really a neat opportunity. And by far, the adult leaders get more out of it than the youth, and they're just really touched by being a part of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not always parents going either. I mean, the intergenerational ministry that's happening here, we have a lot of adults who just really have a passion for teenagers or who have skills and they want to share those skills with our teenagers. And they themselves want to make a difference through our church youth group and through helping out this camp.
And so by adults, as you mentioned, an intergenerational ministry here, by adults going along and setting an example, then the youth that are participating in this have something to aspire to be.
Mm-hmm.
They have something to grow into rather than something to grow out of. They have something to grow into. They're looking toward modeling what they see in these mature Christian adults that are on the trip with them as well.
Yeah. Our goal is to make this where this is everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be the smartest person, the most skilled person. God's going to equip you with what you need at the exact moment, and he's going to send you where he needs you. And we're hoping that by doing all of these things, these service projects, that they're just going to learn these skills and they're going to go, oh, this was easy. It didn't take much for me to serve. It maybe took me out of my comfort zone a little bit, but mm-hmm. that wasn't too bad. I survived. And then as they grow into adults, it's just second nature. It's just mm-hmm. who they are. And I always tell them, I have two small children. I said, who are going to be the youth leaders for my kids? I want to help you to grow in your faith and grow in this knowledge so that one day you're going to be in your 20s and your 30s, and then you can help do this for my mm-hmm. children and all the other little children of this church.
Well, it's a working of the body of Christ, really. I mean, it gets adult leaders that maybe normally just by default in the congregational setting aren't always connected to the youth, and vice versa. And then, you know, whether it's between our church's body of Christ or within our congregations, it's really neat to have them be able to be connected. And so then, my kids will come to church, and then they'll go talk to, Bill. Bill's, at our church, and he, these kids know that he prays for them, and Bill comes to their events occasionally, their tennis match or whatever, and it's just really neat to get them connected mm-hmm. and not just have everybody siloed off within our congregation or even between our churches and our community.
Jason, with about 2 minutes left, tell us what you're looking forward to with this upcoming trip this summer.
Well, we're looking forward to we're looking forward to using some of the many gifts that God has given us here at Emmanuel. Some of the things that we have around here laying around are bins full of hammers and tape measures. We've given away a lot of the tools that people have blessed us with in our recovery work, but we also have a lot of tools that we want to put to use. And our kids have learned a lot of skills over these last couple of years of how to swing a hammer maybe, or how to paint a room or to spread a little bit of a joint compound on a wall, and we want to get out there and use some of those skills. We've spent our lives the last couple of years in a tornado zone, and we're kind of looking forward to going to some place that's not a disaster to fix up. We want to go someplace especially on this first major mission trip since our Joplin tornado. We want to go someplace where we can make an impact on a property and just make improvements to it. And we also want to connect and reconnect with some of these kids and some of these people that we've met along the way through our journey. It's going to be a really exciting time for our kids. They are super excited about it.
Well, today we've been talking with several DCEs. Our guests have been Jason Glaske. He's the Director of Christian Education at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri. Jason, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Oh, it's an honor and privilege. Thank you.
Also in studio today, Christina Stackle, DCE at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Christina, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
And also Daniel Meyer, DCE and Director of Youth Ministry at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Daniel, thanks for being our guest.
Appreciate it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance. And tomorrow, during the 11 o'clock hour, we'll join together with Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis for the Lenten service. Stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.